Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Because we need each other. Amen? We're vital. And Paul says we're all part of the body. And people have a way of... It's just amazing. This is one of the most powerful things about his church and showing up. And that is, even if you've had a crummy week, feel like this high, and like the enemy's done nothing but triumph over you all week, your mere presence near somebody can convey the grace of God to them. And you have no concept of it. You're not aware of it. It's totally unaware. What more can we do if we get really tuned in and get excited about it? I think there's some powerful things that can happen, not despite our situation, but possibly out of the very nature of our situation. So I just want to encourage you as you come. You're an encouragement to a pastor. You're encouragement to people that are sitting around you. Your praise, your worship, your smile. That just the mere presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit being upon you and in you. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. We get to convey and carry the very treasure of heaven everywhere we go. Isn't that great? That's awesome. Lord, help us to remember that. Amen? We're continuing on. I've just been really excited about this. The four greatest Christmas songs. I pray that our spirit just continue to be stirred about this. Remember, we're living in the world, but not of it. We're living in a world where we're having to negotiate some things and work through some things. I don't know if you noticed this, but the world has some slightly different values than God, than the Word of God, than Jesus, than the kingdom of heaven. And so this will maybe really throw you a major curveball, but still be something that'll get you thinking and get you listening. The four greatest Christmas songs of all time? Yes. So far, we've discovered the songs by a Levitical priest by the name of Zechariah and a teenage mother-to-be. One of them is called the Benedictus, which simply says, blessed. Everybody say, blessed. That's a great song, isn't it? Blessed. I'm blessed. Magnificat, which is the Latin, original Latin for magnify. When Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. In fact, that Magnificat has been captured even recently in Christian music, that it says, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And that it's recent, last 20 years. Some of you are going, Pastor, that's old. While at the same time, somebody else said, here he is with that newfangled music again. Yeah, walking the tightrope. So here's the top four church songs of all time for Christmas. You ready? Hark the herald angels sing. Top. In the top four, that was written in 1739. Wow. For the founding fathers of the church, that is a newfangled song. But for us, it's old. The third best song of all times, voted by, I don't know who, but it seems to be a consensus on the internet. You know, the internet just comes to a consensus and we all accept it. The First Noel. This is when the English alphabet only had 25 letters. Some of you can ask somebody at lunch to explain that. The second one, Joy to the World. Written in 1719. Boy, it still has a powerful message, doesn't it? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. We're still crying for that, aren't we? Let the earth receive her king. And then how about this one? Silent Night. Written in 1818. 100 years after Joy to the World, along comes this newfangled tune, Silent Night. Holy Night, written in German originally, and then coming over into the English. Top four vocal, most vocally powerful songs. And if you think about this, These are the songs around Christmas that you imagine yourself on a microphone in front of a stage of people, and it is actually the shower head in your shower. But when Christmas comes along, I am Luciano Pavarotti. I am Andre Bocelli. I am Josh Groban, because these songs just grab your heart and let you soar along with these singers. O come, Emmanuel, and rescue captive Israel. Wow, and you just hear the soaring. There's just something powerfully vocally that happens in those songs. Sometimes they're sung by a cappella choir. Sometimes they're done by in Gregorian chant style. And they are just spine-tingling. How about this one? What child is this? This is Christ the King, whom angels watch, and who Mary watches, and somebody watches, and angels sing, right? Hey, I make up the lyrics in the shower too. Don't worry about that. How about this one? Oh, come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Wow. And how about this? Number one, greatest song. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. The soaring vocals that go up to such heights and just take our hearts with them. Awesome, awesome songs. The top four vocal songs. Well, those things all seem to take us to a higher place. This is a holiday. This is a time. This is a holy day. This is a place when we can, and I just want to remind you that as far as I'm concerned, we ought to kick off the holidays on September 11th. Wash out 9/11 and all the horrors that represents, and mark that as the beginning and go right on through into mid-January. And just let the whole thing be a constant celebration and a declaration very powerfully that Jesus has come and has rescued us. And He has come to take us higher. Everybody say higher. Right off to the left on that slide, you can see that word in excelsis or in excelsis. Depending on who you're talking to and if they're a five-year-old or not or whatever, people have stumbled over that phrase for a very long time. Gloria in excelsis Deo. I saw just the other day somebody sent me a picture of an Excel spreadsheet that said Gloria all the way across that. Gloria in an Excel spreadsheet. In excelsis Deo. This is the time that what it says is glory to God in the highest. The highest. Everybody say highest. This is a time for things to be lifted up to the highest place. And if we can just lift our voices, lift our souls, lift our words, if we could just lift, if we could just be involved in lift for somebody else. Because there are some people who feel down, who feel low, who are confronted with issues and things and shortcomings. And it's ironic because people are confronted in this matter, and it's very difficult to rise up, mount up, cheer up, clear up, and perk up under some of the burdens we bear. But that's exactly what Jesus has come to do. To take us higher. This is the song of the angel army. Now, if we're not careful, we have actually been horribly victimized by artists of the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th century, going into the 21st century. Because when they portray angels, they're usually sweeping and wispy and ethereal, and without much substance. They're often depicted as cherubic babies. In fact, we call, what a little cherub. We haven't read our Bible very carefully. When angels appear, people's hearts stop. They fall to the ground as though dead, and they get terrified. Why? because they are huge and mighty and muscular, built for warfare, and convey and carry the heart and the message of the holy God who sits upon the throne and is enthroned upon the praises of his people. So if we could just rebaptize our mind, and when we hear the word angel, and when we hear this Christmas story, we would now see a phalanx of mighty armed warriors, the top of the top, the highest of God's chain of command, the archangels who are gathering and speaking in about warfare and speaking about war and speaking about conquering. This is why angels sing. They sing at the revelation of the glory of God, and they sing at the apparent victory that God wins and that his people win, and on behalf of his people he wins as he brings them up higher. Highest, to the greatest degree and in the highest order. Highest, the greatest possible perspective and outlook offered by the highest vantage point. I just want to assert something this morning. It seems abundantly clear from the record of Scripture and the attitude of the angels that's conveyed there. Angels have the best possible vantage point of any created being. Look at the perspective. We see it in the book of Revelation. We behold it in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke. These are the ones who are at the throne of God. How many of you believe that's probably the best? It's so high it's called the third heaven. They are made, and some of them have a specialized function of being watchers. They're covered with eyes. That's what John tells us in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. He reveals, he pulls back the cover, he goes in through a door, and he tells us about the throne room of God. And they're constantly watching everything, including God. They're watching. They have their eye on everything. They never miss anything. Have you ever lived in a town that you would miss if you blinked when you drove through it? Angels never miss anything. Not even that town. They take it all in. They have a great vantage point of all the created beings. They have the highest point and the best perspective from which to watch things. And so let's hear what they have to say from that vantage point. It's from that vantage point that they came and they appeared and they spoke and they sang. Luke chapter 2 verses 8 through 20 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were," let's all say that word together, "terrified." M. Night Shyamalan. Stephen King. No, they had nothing to write or say compared to what these guys saw. This blew their mind. This terrified them. This astonished them. It took words from their throat or from their mouth. I bet their eyeballs were that big around. I'll bet you that their mouth was wide open and that their chins were hanging down on their chest, and they were standing there, drained the color out of their skin and have them trembling. And now you've got a picture of what this concert begins with. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" I think the subtext is, "We're not here to kill you." Hello? You know what? One of the great men of Israel had encountered an angel. His name was Joshua. He was the captain, the leader of the army of Israel. And when he went down by Gilgal, where the angels of the Lord were seen from time to time, and that's a whole other story in itself, when he encounters this angel, he has one question. Are you for us or for them? Because he knows that angels come on business from God, and it results in a major shift on the earth because the balance of power is about to change. God has announced something, and very often it is judgment. John, he wants to know who's getting the axe today, us or them. He says, neither. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm here for the cause of the Lord. These shepherds have a reason to be terrified. Because in their history, we're not talking about frilly angels of a cherubic baby variety. We're talking about mighty instruments of God's war. One of them can kill 185,000 men in minutes. Now, these shepherds, their attention is definitely focused. And that's why he has to say, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm not here as the judgment of God extended against you. Quite the opposite. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. By the way, don't you know angels are glad when they get a joyous assignment? Lord, next time, could I go on a good one? Because I'm either going and slaughtering 185,000 or telling a king he's going to die or something, and I really would like to have some good news to share. The Lord reaches over to Gabriel and says, Gabriel, you announce things, and sometimes it's judgment. I've got the best news ever to announce. We need to read between the lines here. It's just my opinion that this is Gabriel. Why? Because he's the heralding, announcing angel. He says, I bring you good news of great joy. He's been able to tell Zechariah, your prayer's answered, and your son is the forerunner of the Messiah. He's about here. He's able to speak to a young girl that has not completed her marriage yet by the name of Mary. So inconvenient and so ill-timed. But he comes on the scene and says, hail, you who are highly favored of the Lord. Because his glory will be on you. He'll overshadow you with his spirit. How about it, Mary? She says, sign me up. Right? Now this angel gets to come and he gets to talk to some shepherds out on the job in the field. He's moved from a high priest to a little girl to shepherds. The lowest rung on the ladder. The lowest job description ever devised by humanity. Go out on the side of the hill, watch over the flock, and if any of them are killed, you have to pay for them. What a rough job. You do not have to have great skills. You don't even need a curriculum vitae. You do not need a job application form. You do not need a background check. When you apply as shepherd, they say, background check, unnecessary. We're looking for the rough, the tough, and don't mind sleeping outside and wandering around. If tumbling tumbleweed is your song, inquire within. This angel gets to come to the lowest of the low, the men who are out on the outside, and bring to them good news of great joy that will be for all people. How do we know? Because we're going to the lowest of the low. God has sent us with a message to the friends in low places. God has sent a message to the people who are occupying the lowest spot of humanity, and he says to them, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. He is Christ the Lord. Let's see, I think I put it in there twice. Okay, moving right along. You will find a baby. This would be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, if that's not enough, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There is something about angels, they just can't help themselves. They don't fade into view. They just appear. They're not there one minute, and then they are there, and suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, read that, soldiers with swords flaming, ready for war, but they have a smile on their face. They are rejoicing because they appear and they appear. accompany and back up this one, not with a phalanx of armed soldiery against the attack of the enemy and in defense, but rather they get to appear with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." What a great announcement. God's favor has come upon you and is resting. Everybody say rest. Resting on you. Now, why is this exciting? Because throughout the history of man, man has made sure by his disobedience and his fickleness, his wishy-washiness, and his instability, that God was not welcome to do anything but come and visit for a short time and then be gone. They had now devised a whole mentality, a whole theology, a whole way of thinking that said, don't expect anything, and if it does happen, it's probably going to be too good to last. It's going to be here, and then it's going to be gone like a refreshing rain or a good harvest, and then it's back to the grindstone. That was what man was laboring under. They had painted themselves into the corner and so slandered God and defied His covenant that this was truly a state that was hopeless. How many of you know God specializes in dealing with hopelessness? How many of you know that what is impossible with man is possible with God? So the angels get to say, His favor rests. Which means He comes to stay. He comes to hover upon you, to settle in upon you. And it's not just the anointing of the king, which was few and far between. It's not just the anointing of the prophet. That was just those few men of Israel's history. It wasn't just the high priest. It wasn't just those who had the anointing oil upon their head or upon their beard or upon their clothing. No. This is proclaimed to the lowest of the low, the most great population, people who had questionable backgrounds, mixed pedigree. They couldn't trace their heritage back to the right person in their history. People who had confused backgrounds, dark backgrounds, humble backgrounds, messed up backgrounds. These angels stand there with a smile upon their face and joy in their heart as they say to the lowest of you, to the least of these, your favor has come, God, and it is rested. You're here to tabernacle, to get acquainted, to have supper with, to knock on the door and have it open and come in and sup with us, to tabernacle, to stay in our house. You're here to go to a Zacchaeus and say, "Zacchaeus, today I'm going to be at your house." You're here to be in the house of the publican and the sinner, the wayward, the woman at the well of Samaria. You're here to stop in the middle of the day. You're here to come into our everyday life, every circumstance, every situation, and not only come to visit, but come to stay. Everybody say stay. That's the glorious story of the gospel. That God wants to come and not just come for the momentary visit. Not for us just to visit at that momentary time of Christmas and Easter, but that time when we seize upon it and realize this. What would it do in your life if you really, really, really allowed this message to sink in this morning, that God wants to be with me and stay upon me and stay with me and fellowship with me, that God enjoys being in my presence as much as I enjoy in being in His, that He wants to be with me at the lowest of the low, in the toughest situation and the toughest circumstances. He is the God who is interested in coming to the lowest point and doing what? Taking me higher. That's how He takes us higher. That's how He gets us up there. He comes down to where we are, comes alongside of us and says, "You don't know the way higher from here. But I do. I know how to come to the lowest point in the lowest situation, and I know how to lift you up." Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. That's great news. The shepherds then say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. This is a message from God. He sent his angel with a message. God has spoken to us mere shepherds. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Aren't you glad they believed? That's the problem very often. We hear great news and we don't believe it. How many of you ever heard unbelievable news? Right. We even use that term. Unbelievable! That's incredible. Do you realize what the word that's incredible, that phrase? We used it as a TV program way back when. That's incredible. What does it mean? What does that mean? The root of it means incredible, means simply not believable. It is so wild, it's incredible. What we're actually saying is that thing they claim happened, we don't believe it. And here these men hear this phenomenal story, and what do? They go immediately to Bethlehem to see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they, I like this next phrase, hurried. That's the thing about good news. You need to hurry. Don't dawdle when you hear good news. Don't fiddle faddle around. Don't goof off. Don't lollygag. Don't walk. Run. Amen? We're looking for an energetic response. When God speaks to you, respond energetically. You got my attention. What do you mean? I'm ready. Jump. You say jump, I'll say hi, hi. Let's get this done. Let's go after this. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Didn't they just hear that? And when they had seen him, they spread concerning what had been told them about this child. So they tell other people. Now listen to this next phrase, because we're going to break this down in just a moment as we kind of read through it right now, and then I'll break it down. And all, everybody say, all who heard it. And all who heard it, does it say, believed them? No. It said, all who heard it were amazed. It's not always a good thing for people to be amazed. Because that has the implication of, you shepherds really know how to tell the story. You are out on the hillside all night swapping stories with other shepherds. You guys are known for playing the game of top this one. Right? And you know what? Some of us are experts. I've heard us in conversation around tables. That's part of the fun. Well, you know, I had gallbladder attack, nearly died as in horse and buggy days, and they cut me right open in the middle of the street. Now, well, that's nothing. I had open heart surgery on the kitchen in my house. Really? Well, they did brain surgery on me in the barn. And off the stories go. It's just fun. You can see people's eyes light up. They're listening to your story and go, wait a minute. I got one that'll really get you. And you know what? All of them can be true. They can. I'm saying that's amazing, right? But they can be. But, you know, we swap the stories and we go on. But we don't respond. We don't do anything about it. And so these shepherds tell them everything. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But I want you to notice something. The shepherds gave them all the detail they got. And yet nobody else goes to the manger, in the bottom of the tower, in Bethlehem, to lay their eyes upon the promise that God has given. Isn't that amazing? What's amazing to me is that there's only shepherds at the manger. Nobody else. Now, some of you are getting your world rocked right now. If you'd like to, come Tuesday. We're going to go through all of the Christmas narrative and let the Lord filter out some tradition and let some truth shine through. So I'm just going to put that right there before you and go on. But Mary treasured up. Everybody say treasured. Treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, what they said in the heavens, this song is a classic, and it has been mangled by untrained voices and tongues for a very long time. Gloria in excelsis Deo. The first time it was performed for the shepherds by angels on a limited engagement from the highest heaven. One-time concert. How many of you have heard of the one-hit wonders? Well, in some ways, these angels were the one-hit wonders. They came in, delivered their message, lifted this song of praise before the Lord, to the Lord, in front of these shepherds, and then were gone. This is the third song of Christmas. In short, it's called In the Highest. In the Highest. Everybody say In the Highest. In the Highest. This is the highest kind of message. The law from God was given by angelic hand. Read the book of Hebrews. Read throughout Scripture. It continually says the law which was given by the hand of angels. The law from God was given to Moses on a mountain for the people of Israel by this angelic hand. I wonder how many of them were present in that time that were also present there, had assignment, a similar assignment on that day. Zechariah's prayer to God was answered. And that great message was brought to him by a heralding angel. But now we get this also. Mary was asked to participate by God. And we read that and discovered that, and she later sings about that as she lifts that Magnificat from here. It's the highest kind of message. The law from God was given by their hand. Zechariah's prayer to God was answered, and it was brought to them. That answer was brought by that heralding angel. Mary was asked to participate by Gabriel, and now shepherds are invited to see. Isn't that great? Shepherds are invited to see. By who? By angels. Hey, folks, it doesn't get any higher than that. These are the highest witnesses. These are the highest testifiers. These are the highest heralds of heaven. So not only is it the highest kind of message. So the message lifts us up. Isn't that a lifting message? But it's the highest kind of messenger. Gabriel is the messenger. He's the heralding angel. He is one of the archangels. He's at the top of an organizational chart. The other angels refer to him as the big messenger kahuna. Okay? He's large and in charge. He's Gabriel. He's considered one of the four top archangels, the highest angels. Gabriel is the messenger. He appears to them. Think about that. The highest angel appears to the lowest of humankind. Does that tell us something about God? Does that tell us something? When his messenger comes and he is sent not to the king in Jerusalem, not to Herod, not to Caesar, the most powerful man on the planet. He is not sent to the high priest in Jerusalem, who is the most powerful religious man on the planet. No, he bypasses them all, and he comes with the highest messenger sent to the lowest kind of humanity. Wow, what a great message. That's kind of like the vice president coming to my house and said, the president wants to see you, would like for you to pray over him and talk with him about some matters. Would you please come out and go on Air Force 2 with me to Washington? How many of you would be pretty impressed? I would just be pretty impressed. I would get lots of pictures. Because otherwise you would be amazed. But you would not believe. And you'd even say, I've heard you, Pastor. That's incredible. Oh, Pastor, that's an incredible story. Hey, wait a minute. I've got pictures. All Photoshop, Pastor. You've been tricked by Photoshop. I've got a recording. Oh, they can record anybody singing anything, and it's not really them. Pastor, we're amazed at the story, but we don't believe it. He appears to them, and the glory of God shone round about them. Think about that. That God doesn't mind, in fact, encourage us to have His glory around us. Wow. That tells us something about God. He wants to take us wherever we are. And what does He want to do? Move us higher. Everybody say higher. Higher. He wants to move us higher. He even cares enough about shepherds to forever change their life with an incident, of sharing this glorious message. He brings the highest kind of messenger, and they were terrified. You can't slice it any other way. And then, number three, the highest kind of message response. Now, think with me. If you have the highest messenger and the highest message, shouldn't we have the highest response? Huh? You know, sarcasm and distrust and hopelessness and despair, that can put us in the position where we would like to believe. In fact, that's where we're at. We'd like to believe that, but we don't even have the strength to believe it. We don't even have barely enough strength to like to want to believe it. And yet something has happened in their life. It is now meriting of the highest kind of message response. The shepherds responded immediately, spread the word about everything they saw, and then returned glorifying and praising God. Isn't that a great response? That's a great illustration when the shepherds can teach us how to respond to God, and they're doing it. They're doing it. They go and they tell the good news to other people. Is this exciting news or what? I mean, news that terrifies you by the messenger, that's pretty powerful. How many of you tend to remember things that terrified you? Huh? Oh, boy. Things my cousins did to me, things my sister did to me. And saying, you have some of those same stories. In fact, I heard last night, finally got a confession. I don't know what to do about this, too late now. But we were, for the longest time in our family, we just believed that Bethany was fearless when it came to spiders. Some of you are going, oh, don't even talk about it, Pastor. We lived in Logan, New Mexico, which was the home of about 50 jillion tarantulas. And every time it rained, they decided leaving the fields and the ditches is now a good time. And the roads and the porches and the ceilings of the porches are a great place to hang out until it dries off. And then they would all go back home. So they would come and camp out at the Martin house until it dried off, and then they'd go back to their field. And so we had these that would hang out. We had the tarantula families that would hang out with us from time to time. And one time, we have a picture of Bethany sitting there in a tarantula on her arm. And she's sitting there with an awkward smile on her face, but she's just sitting there with that tarantula. She goes, oh, I was definitely afraid. That terrified me. I'll never forget that. And we're going, what? We thought you were just really brave. She goes, Cameron told me that they're deadly, and if you move, they'll bite you, and you will die. Would you help me go find Cameron? We need to whip that boy. I know he's 30-something right now, but he just needs a whipping. We just now heard from our 29-year-old daughter. This is one of those terrors in her mind. He told me if I moved, it would kill me. Don't move, May. Because if you move, they get scared and they bite you and they have the worst venom of all spiders. So it's like, oh, that really blew up our story. Our story was brave little Bethany handling tarantulas. And it was terrified Bethany handling the tarantulas. Wow. What a response. The highest kind of message response is they spread the word and glorified and praised God. Even though they were terrified, the terror was overcome by the power of the message. Wait a minute. God's favor is resting upon us? We got to see God's promise of thousands of years going back to Genesis chapter 3. This is the hope and fear of all the years have been met in us tonight. We get to see it. Isn't that amazing? That God would choose His first eyewitnesses to be shepherds. The highest kind of message response, they would glorify and praise God and tell everybody they ran across about this wonderful message. Can you imagine if we would mobilize like that? And we would just say, you know what? Everybody I meet, I've got to tell them, I've met Jesus. And He has changed my life. He's taken me, what? Higher. Isn't that a great testimony? He's just taken me higher. I'm curious, how many of you say, you know, He's taken me from where I used to be to now, He's taken me higher. Right? Some of us, you know, sometimes we think, well, He's abandoned me, and as a result, I've gone lower. But I'm here to tell you, He's the God who's come to stand by your side. He will do it, take you higher. Now, number two, others had a guarded response. They heard the story from the shepherds. They did not go. They had all the information the shepherds had. And more, because the shepherds had been there. The shepherds only had these clues. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They knew immediately where to go. And that's a whole other story. Come on Tuesday night if you want to get more detail on that. Others had a guarded response. Let's consider the source, folks. These are shepherds. These guys are experts in the one-upsmanship game. And you notice they're all unified in their story? That's an amazing story, but we're not going to get out tonight and go check this out. Let's not have a guarded response. In fact, the enemy will often come to us and say, boy, that was an exciting truth that the pastor or the visiting evangelist or you heard there, you read there in that book, but let's not get too worked up and do anything about that. How about if we just guard ourselves a little bit and let's mute our response? Let's not get too excited. After all, you know, this might not pan out in the end. But listen to what Mary did. Mary treasured up everything and pondered them. At the very least, if we could just open our heart and say, he wants to not only take me higher, he wants to take me to the highest. He not only is willing to come into my boat, into my circumstance, and into my situation, but he is willing to walk with me and talk with me, carry me, take me, move me to the highest possible place. What does Mary do? Takes it in. Treasures it. What do you do with the treasure? Every chance you get, you pull it out and you look at it. Wow, isn't that valuable? What has the Lord done for me? He's considered the low state of his servant, and he has put me in a place that all generations will call me blessed. Because God does that. He takes low things, makes them high. He takes lower things and makes them higher. He takes distance and he closes it. So how do we respond? Let's stand to our feet this morning. How do you respond? How do I respond to the highest kind of message? Folks, that message doesn't get any better than that. We're talking about the highest message. Blessings from heaven upon earth, whom God's favor rests. Folks, do you know that God's favor is still on this planet? The only explanation for why we've not imploded. It is the only explanation for why we haven't spun off the axes into space. Why things haven't politically melted down with thermonuclear war exchange completely obliterating this planet and all human life. 10 times over. Because why? God's favor rests. This is why the prophets could say, now is the day of salvation. Now is it more close than we ever knew it was. Because why? His favor. I'm here to tell you some great news this morning. His favor is resting on you. He didn't ask your permission to rest his favor on you. He just blanketed this world with favor. And now he's looking for people who take that seriously and respond to it. That's going to be the great tragedy of eternity, that God's favor is rested upon people and their response to it was... Or, fool me once, shame on me. Or you, fool me twice, shame on me. It's the, how do we respond to the highest kind of message? The highest kind of messenger. Hey, look, it got even better. God himself became human flesh. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus himself came to be the messenger. And this is the greatest message with the highest kind of messenger from the highest one of all, God, the Creator, the awesome God who so loves the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, He's come to take us higher. No wonder the angels sang, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Here's the question. How will you respond? Will you let God take you higher? What's the next step? Where's the next notch? Where can you go higher? Will you hear from Him and will you let Him? So let's just bow our hearts before Him right now. Lord, we thank You that You're still announcing good news. You're sending Your best messengers from the highest place with the highest and greatest news, which is for all people, that unto You is born in this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What a great Savior. What a great announcement. What a great messenger. What a great message. Lord, I ask that You'd help us to have simply a good response to You. We can't offer many times the greatest response. We can take this and treasure it in our heart. We can respond with great energy and share it with other people. We can certainly do the job of a shepherd. And we can tell them the amazing story of God's blessing in this time. The greatest song of all. We can sing it. We can share it. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Lord, let this infuse our life and let it change this holiday because You've changed us. Rather than lamenting the way that the world has hijacked it, Lord, let us push back with the might of the host of angels. Let us join the angel army. Let us fall into the ranks and say, we're going to sing with you guys. You're the ones that are strapped and built for war. We're ready to go if you'll go before us. And Lord, help us to take this message of great, glorious news, which is joy for all people. And Lord, help us to go higher. To go higher in You and with You. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord bless us as we go.